Today's Daf, Sanhedrin, Daf Membeis. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In the previous shiur, we discussed the brocha of Kiddush Levana. The Gemara presented two opinions concerning up till what time in the month can this brocha be said. The first opinion was that of Rav Yehuda that said until the seventh of the month. Concerning that particular opinion, the Gemara here asks a question on the top, the second line from the top of Mem Beis, Amale Rav Achomi Difti the Ravina. V'livri Hatova Meitiv, why not say the Brocha of Hatova Meitiv, which is a Brocha that one says when good things happen to them? That's, of course, in general terms. In this case, from the seventh of the month, even though, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're no longer going to be saying the Brocha of Kiddush Levana, nevertheless, until the middle of a month, the moon is increasing in size and hence increasing in light, in its provision of light, and that would be grounds for saying this brocha hatov v'hametiv. Amalei, so Ravina responds to this suggestion, Otu ki choser mi mevorchinon dayon ho'emes delivrech hatov v'hametiv. Is it so that when the moon starts to decrease in size, do we say the brocha known as Dayan HaEmes, which is a brocha that one says when unfortunate events befall an individual? Hence, when the moon's light is decreasing, do we say that brocha that would serve to justify saying the opposite type brocha, the Hatov V'Meitiv brocha, upon the moon's increase of light? We don't. Hence, just like we don't say Dayan HaEmes, we don't say Hatov HaMeitiv. So he responds, V'livruchinu l'travayu. So let us, in fact, say both. Why not say Hatov HaMeitiv as the moon's light is increasing, and Dayan HaEmes as it is decreasing? So the Gemara answers, Kivon dahainu urche, since this is its normal course of events, it's part of the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that the first half of the month the moon's light increases, and the second half of the month the moon's light decreases. Lo mevorchinan. Therefore, we don't say these special brachas. The Rashi points out, Dahainu urchei, b'chol chodesh, b'riyas olam k'minhago hi. This is its custom. That's urchei b'chol chodesh. This is its derech, its custom, every month. This is the way the world was created. V'ein kan din pur'anus b'chesrona. The fact that the light is decreasing is not a sign of punishment or wrath. V'loi ha'tovasa lanu chesed b'milu'usa. And likewise, the increase of light is not an expression of special heavenly kindness, but rather, as we said, it's part of the creation. Hence, since it's its normal, natural way, there is no grounds for saying these particular brachas. We now notice, once again, a double underline. This was featured in our last shiur. These double underlines serve to highlight comments made by Rav Acha Bar Chanina in the name of Rav Asi, who in turn says in the name of Rav Yochanan. The Omar Rav Acha Bar Chanina, Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan, Kol HaMevorech Al HaChodesh Bizmano, anyone who recites this bracha, this Birchas HaChodesh or Kiddush Levana in its right time, Ki'ilu Mekabel Penei Shechina, it's as if he's receiving the divine presence. How does he know to say that? K'siv Hocha HaChodesh Hazeh, and we've dashed underlined the word Hazeh. This is a reference to months. And uksiv hasam ze keliv yanveu. And upon the Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a revelation, a divine revelation, and the same word ze, as you can see, again, we dashed underline it, ze keli, this is my God, and I will adorn him. Tono debe Rabbi Yishmael. Il mole zochu Yisrael elo hakbil pene avim shebashamayim kol chodesh v'chodesh dayom. if it were so that the Klal Yisrael had no other mitzvah or no other merit other than receiving the divine presence every month, that would be enough. Rashi says, Dayon, ilu lo zochu le mitzvah cheres. If it were so that Klal Yisrael were not zocha, didn't merit any other mitzvah, ela lezu, shemekablin pnei shechina pam achas b'chodesh, ki de'amoron, that we receive the divine presence, as we said, as was illustrated by the word comparison, the ze comparison, b'gzera shava, that would be sufficient. Omar Abaye commenting on this of this Tana de Beirut Shmuel says, Hilkoch nimrinu me'umod, since the recitation of this bracha is tantamount to receiving the divine presence, so out of respect, one must say it standing. Reimar umarzutra, mekasvi umavarchi. They allowed themselves to be carried on others' shoulders and said the bracha. Omar le Rav Acha le Rav Ashi. B'marova mevorchi, in Eretz Yisrael, the nusach of their bracha is Baruch Mechadesh Chodoshim. Omalei, Rav Ashi says, that's all? Hi, such a short bracha, Noshi Dido Nami mevorchi. Our women also say it. Women, in this case, being an illustration of those who are not steeped in Torah learning and hence are familiar with brief passages alone. So the feeling one gets while learning this Gemara is that there must be more to the bracha than just a simple Baruch Mechadesh Chadoshim. Elo k'derev Yehuda. Rather, the nusach would be like that which Rav Yehuda proposes. The Omer Rav Yehuda, Baruch Asher b'marmoro borosh hakim. And you'll notice the text of this bracha goes till the third wide line, where here we open up the bracha with a quotation marks, and the closing of it is at the end of the third wide line. So the bracha continues and says that blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who through his word Borosh Chokim created the heavens, Uberuach Piv Kol Tzva'am, and with the spirit of his mouth, or the wind of his mouth, so to speak. All of this, of course, is taken as an analogy. He created all the hosts. Choyk Uzman Osan Lahem Shaloyishanu Es Tafkidam. Everything has been assigned rules and timing, and that they do not change their course of travel. All of the different heavenly bodies that are responsible for different effects, seasons, and the like, they all operate according to a predetermined timing as upon the time of creation. Sosim usmechim lasis ritzoyin kanam. They're happy and joyful to fulfill the will of their creator. Poyale emes shepu'ulosin emes. They're workers that do an honest work. They don't change their paths. V'lalavona omar shetizchadish. Kodesh Baruch Hu said regarding the moon that it renews itself every month. Ateres tiferes lamusei boten, a crown of glory to those who he sustains from the womb. This is amusei boten is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Shehein asidim lehischadesh kemosa, that the Jewish people will experience a renewal in the future, just like the moon goes through achieves a stage of renewal. Ulefoyer leyotzrim al shem kavod malchuso, and they will be a source of pride to their creator. Baruch ato Hashem mechadesh chodashim, blessed be Hashem that renews the months. We now have another comment of Rav Acha, Rav Chanina, coming up. The pasuk that's going to be featured is Ki betachbulois tase lecha milchama. This is explained. Omar Rav Acha bar Chanina, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan, b'mi ata motzei milchamta shel Torah. In whom do you find success in the battle of Torah? B'mi sheyesh biyado chavilois shel Mishnah. What we've done in our markings, we've dashed, underlined the word betachbulos, and this word chavilos, indicating that the word of the pasuk tachbulos is understood in this drasha as a reference to bundles. He who has in his hand bundles of mishnayos, In other words, one who is familiar with source material, Torah source material, primary source material, he is the one that will be capable of issuing proper halachic rulings and proper Torah analysis. Kori Rav Yosef Anafshe, Rav Yosef, referred to himself the following pasuk: V'rav tvuos b'koyach shor. That tvuos is a reference to Mishnayos, to Mishnayos and Brises, the source of the strength of the ox, the shor, is through the food that it eats. In this context, the Gemara, the Torah Shebal Peh, is referred to by the term tvuos. Elsewhere, the Gemara says, like at the end of Brachas, it says, Hakol tzorach lemori dechitya, everyone needs the wheat merchant. Wheat being a staple product, everyone needs that. Let's take a look at some of the points that Rashi makes on this particular passage. Milchamto shel Torah, that's the war of Torah. Horio seha, the rulings. Vilamoid al burya val ikora, and to also understand with clarity the roots of issues and halachas. Loi ke adam hamefupal umechudad ubal svara. And not like someone. In other words, our Gemara is describing someone who will be successful in the battle of Torah. That's someone who has in his he has at his command the Mishnayos and Brises, all kinds of primary source Torah information from which to draw proper halachic conclusions. And not like the person Rashi emphasizes here, who's sharp and clever and has analytical powers, but does not have the source material background. The low lomad mishnayos ubrayos harbe. If you have someone that has an analytical and sharp mind, but doesn't have the primary source material, ki mehechon yizgala hasod, from where will he reveal the secret? In other words, the simple exercise of mental capacity and intellectual gymnastics in order to achieve accurate Torah conclusions cannot take place if a person doesn't have command of primary source material. Ella, where will one find the sod, the secret? Bebal Mishnayos Harbe, someone who knows a lot of Mishnayos. She'im yitzorech lo itam bekan yomdenu mitoch Mishnacheres. If he's dealing with a particular topic over here, he'll be able to derive proper conclusions based on Mishnayos that he's learned elsewhere. If he's learning something and it appears to him to be difficult based on what's stated in another place, Yovin mitoch Mishnayos harbi shebiyado, he will understand by virtue of the fact that he has control over a lot of Mishnayos. That there really isn't a contradiction. What he perceives as a contradiction is not because what he's learning here is based on the opinion of such and such a rabbi, and he is aware of that because he's learned the Mishnayos elsewhere that reveal that information. Continuing in our Gemara, we take a look at the side. We have a topic heading, Nosei, Ta'ois Beshois, a mistake in hours, eino behechrech mevatel edus, doesn't necessarily cause the canceling of the testimony of the witnesses. Mashen ken tos b'hanetzachama, as opposed to a mistake concerning an event that took place at sunrise. The Mishnah said that if one witness says the event took place at the second hour of the day, and the other witness said it took place at the third hour of the day, we say that the witnesses are not contradicting each other, but rather people tend to make a mistake within a certain range of time. Amrav Simi Ba'ashi, lo shonu eloshos. The Mishnah's allowance for discrepancy is only with regard to hours of the day, certain cases, as we just illustrated. Avol, echad oimer kodim honei tzachama, v'echad oimer lachar honei tzachama, edusim b'teva. If you have two witnesses, and they're not citing hours, but one is rather saying it took place before sunrise, and the other witness says the event that I saw took place after sunrise, we say that their testimony is void. Pshita, it's very obvious. They're not talking about the same event. One's talking about something that took place before Nace, and the other one is after Nace. So you don't have two witnesses on one event. That's obvious. Ella, what is Rav Simi Bar Ashi teaching us then, if that has some novel value? Ella echad omer kodem hanetz, vechad omer behanetz. One witness says the event that I saw took place before the sunrise, and the other one says it took place during the sunrise. So the Gemara says, well, Hanami Pshita, that too is clearly grounds for voiding the testimony. The Gemara answers, no, Mahu Detema. One might have thought without this comment of Rav Simi Bar Ashi that this particular case of one saying before the Nates and one saying during the Nates, the sunrise, one might have thought, Ha Begiluyo Koi, he is witnessing something that's taking place during the glow before sunrise. There's an intense glow of light before sunrise. Vizarure ba'amahu dechaza. What he saw was a mere gleam, however, mistaking it for the sunrise itself. And that's why he said that the event took place during the sunrise. And I might have thought that, well, this is what took place, and in fact, and that what they're testifying about the event that at the same time, they're talking about the same time. And his mistake was thinking that the intense glow was the sunrise itself. Kamash Malon, this is what Rav Simi Bar Ashi says, that we're not going to interpret his comments like that, but rather if he says it took place during sunrise, he's referring specifically to the point in time that it is sunrise and not the point in time before. V'achakach machnisin, and the Mishnah goes on to say that when you have one of the Talmidim that was Malamed Shus, so they had him rise to sit together with the court, Velohoya Yurid Misham Kolayom Kuloi. So the Gemara asks on this language of the Mishnah, is it so that Osu Hayom Vesulo, that day alone he doesn't descend from being part of the court, but after that day he does descend? The Hatanya, we have a Tanaic source that indicates to the contrary. In our marking system, Tanaic sources are featured by frames. As you can see, here's a two-line Tanaic source. Im yesh mamish bedvarov, if the Talmud is suggesting innocence of the defendant, and there is substance to what he's saying, lo hoya yurid misham li'olam, once he went up to be part of the basin, he doesn't go down ever. V'im ein mamish bedvarov, ein yurid kolayom kulo. If, however, it's discovered that what the Talmud was saying was of no substance, so we say as follows, though he rose to be part of the basin, he doesn't descend for the rest of the day. Kidei shelo tehei aliyoso yirigolo, so that his rising in the first place shouldn't in fact be the source of embarrassment, of descent for him later on. So as a result of that consideration, to preserve his dignity, we say, look, you went up to the basin, we found there's no substance in your words, but stay seated with the basin for the rest of the day. Omar Abaye. Before we read Abaye's answer, we review the question. According to our Mishnah, the fellow who went up to be part of the basin, to Malamed Shus, the Mishnah simply says he doesn't go down the rest of the day, leaving room to think that after that he does go down. This Brisa says that if there's substance to his words, he doesn't go down at all. So Omar Abaye, Tirguma, explain our Mishnah that says he doesn't go down the rest of the day as referring to the following case, im ein mamish bedvarov. In the event that we discover that what the Talmud was saying, what the student was saying, defensive remarks are found to be lacking substance. So we say he goes up and stays there as part of the court that day, but the next day he's no longer with them. Motsu lo zchus, and then the Mishnah went on to say, v'lo hoyu shoysim yayin kol hayom. The judges would not drink wine all day. My taima lo, why is it that the judges would not drink wine during the day? Omar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Omar Kro, v'laroiznim I shechar, which means those that are involved with the secrets of the world, in this case they're involved with the judicial procedure, Al yishtakru. They should not become inebriated. In our Mishnah, we saw a situation of 36 were mechayev, and 35 were mezakeh. 36 found guilty, 35 found innocent in a capital case. Donin elu keneged elu ad sheyira echod min ha mechayvin divrei ha mezakin. They debate with one another until one of the judges voting for guilt saw the opinion of those voting for innocence. And if that would happen, given that at the starting point there were 36 guilty, 35 for innocence, if one of the guilty votes changed to be a vote for innocence, then you would have 36 exonerators and 35 indictors. The Gemara asks, Lo ro'umai, what would happen if they were not successful in convincing the other side? In other words, you had originally 36 mechayven and 35 mezakin. We said we can't rule in favor of guilt, even though there's a majority that rule guilty. We can't base ourselves on this particular majority because you don't have a majority of two. So let us say that in their deadlock, the opinion of the mezakin, no one was convinced that he's chayev to make it 37 versus 34. Omar Rav Acha Potrin. Also, Rav Acha says that if they're not successful in convincing one of the mechayven to change lischus, so what we were left with then would be 36 mechayven and 35 mezakin. And if they were not lo ro'u, we asked, what's the din? Om ravacha pochinoso, we free him anyway. V'chein om rav yochanan pochinoso, we leave the defendant to go free. Om alei rav popo labaye. We notice in our markings we have a Roman numeral number 1 by Rav Popa, and the next line is a scribbled underlined Iko Diamri, indicating a second Lashon, at which point you'll see a Roman number 2 where the same Rav Popa presents this issue with a different Lashon. So Amalei Rav Popa Labaye, Filifterei Mikara, why not let the defendant go free at the beginning? Instead of going through the whole adding process till we got up to a total of 71, why not let him go free at the very beginning when we saw there was a deadlock? We saw, let us say, 12 saying guilty and 11 saying innocent. Let them go free. Let the defendant go free. The Rashi says, V'niftere meikara, mishehosifu ad shivim ve'chad v'nechliku. Instead of going for this process of adding till you get to 71, lomanu me'achrin hadover lodun elu k'negid. Why don't we delay the process and have this debate between the different sides take place? Mi islan adurei basachova. Do we have any business seeking guilt? If there were originally 12 saying guilty and 11 saying innocent, and we don't have a majority of two, for the guilt side, let him go free. Omar le hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan kidei shelo yetsu mibezin murbavin. So as to protect the court from an appearance of being confounded, murbavin, being confounded, being confused, we do this process of hopefully getting a true resolution of the case. We have a definitive majority. Iko diamri Omar le Rav Papa labaye velomali yosifu. Why do we go through the process of adding judges? Liftere mibe dino kama. Why not let him go free from the first court? That was a first court where there were 12 voting for guilt and 11 innocent. Let him go free. Omar le. So Abaye responds in this lashon to Rav Papa as follows: Rabbi Yossi koy chavosech. In fact, Rabbi Yossi subscribes to your reasoning. The Sanya, the source, begins here with Rabbi Yossi's name featured with an underline. Rabbi Yossi Omer, k'shem shein rosifin al beizin shel shivim ve'echad. Just like we would not add judges to a basin of 71, by the same token, we do not add to a basin of 23. At this point, we start a new topic, and that's indicated by the slash mark that you see in the Gemara. Notice the topic heading, the nosei. Pirush ma she'omrim besof hamishpat nizdakein hadin. We're going to explain that which is said at the end of a court case, the expression nizdakein hadin. Tana Rabbanan, omer bedinei momenus, at the conclusion of a case involving financial matters, the statement is announced nizdakein hadin. V'ein omer bedinei nefoshos nizdakein hadin. However, at the conclusion of a capital case, this announcement is not made. My nizdakein hadin, what is meant by that? Ilema kosh dina. If the intention or the explanation of the term nizdakein hadin is kosh dina, Rashi says, kosh dina zokein din ze. Nizdakein from the word zokein, old. What does that mean? V'omoik, it's old, it's deep. V'koshe, and difficult. V'tzorch lahamtin bo, and we have to take it slowly. We have to judge the case slowly. It needs thought. If anything, then ibcha, the Gemara goes on, ibcha mi boyale. By capital cases, one requires more investigation, more thoroughness than financial cases. So the kosh dina expression, or nizakini din, if interpreted as kosh dina, would be more appropriate for dinei nefoshos. Omar Rav Huna bar Manoach Mishmei de Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika Epuch. So in order to resolve this problem, he suggests just switch things around. In other words, the source would be telling you that you say by dinei nefoshos nizdakein hadin. Omar Rav Ashi Omar, a second approach, Lolam lo tepuch. Don't switch the source around. Omain is dakin adin. What is meant by that expression? Not that it's old and deep and hard and difficult, but rather Chochom Dino, Rashi says, Chochom Dino, Yofe Hemadatanu Alburyo. We successfully achieved clarity, a conclusion of clarity. V'ein echod mimenu tzoruch lafuch. And none of us have to do further investigation. V'ein omrim kein b'din nefoshes. But such a statement would be inappropriate for capital cases. Sha'af mishigamruhu, because in capital cases, even upon concluding it, im yedakte ko'echav imso lo ischus, if someone further analyzes the situation and finds something of merit, something of innocence, Machzirin as adin, we will reverse the case. At this point in the Gemara, after hearing two approaches to the brisa, we've seen nizdakein adin meaning kosh dina, and possibly chocham dina, meisvei. We raise a question from a source, Godol shebedayonim omer nizdakein hadin. The eldest or primary judge makes this announcement. Now we see in the Gemara a geometric form, a triangle, and when you see any geometric form that you have to see in our marking system, another one. It forms a series or creates a relationship between different ideas in the same topic. So in this case, we have also an explanation on the outside margin, the mivneh. You'll notice triangles positioned in two different directions. Nisyonos lahasik maskonos hafuchos. We will have attempts here to come out with opposite conclusions, b'inyan hanemar b'sof hamishpat, regarding that which is announced at the end of a case. In our triangles, we feature the expression e amris bishlama, and the two directions will be, one will say, it will be well if you say Chocham Dina, or we'll see the later suggestion in the Gemara that it will be well if we say the Kosh Dina approach. So continuing in our Gemara, after having introduced the source that says that the primary judge makes this announcement of Nizdakein Adin, E Amrz Bishlamo Chocham Dina, if you take the approach that it means we have achieved clarity, and it's a solid conclusion, then Hainu de Omar Godol. Then I understand that the Godol, the chief justice, is the one that says it. The greatest of them says it. Ela I Amris Koshdina. If, however, you say that the expression of Nizdakanin means that this is a difficult case, this is a deep case whose conclusion is hard to reach, is it fitting for the greatest of the judges on the court to say that? Is it not embarrassing? Lo sagya de lo omar godol kisufi hu de kol michsif nafshei. Is it necessary that the godol, the greatest of the judges, has to say that? If he does, he in effect is embarrassing himself. He's basically saying that we are having a difficult time achieving a conclusion. So the Gemara says, it's better that he says it, because if he doesn't say it, someone else might say it. And Eino Doime Mizbayesh Me'atzmo Mizbayesh Me'achirim. One cannot compare embarrassment that's self-inflicted as opposed to embarrassment that is imposed by outsiders. Therefore, if he says that this has been a difficult case, then that's better than someone else saying about him that he had a tough time judging the case. Ika the Amri, another lashon in the Gemara, which in effect is going to be an opposite direction of concluding things. I Amri's Bishlamo Koshdina. Here, notice the triangle has been flipped over because the attempted conclusion is the opposite of what was suggested above. Here we're saying it would make sense if the announcement of Nizdakin Adin means Koshdina. Hainu, the Eino Doimim is Bayesh Me'asmal is Bayesh Be'achirim. Therefore, I understand why the Godol Shebadayonim says it, because it's better for him to say it than for someone else to say it, as we just explained. Elo Iam is Chacham Dino. However, if you'll take the approach that it means that our case is concluded with clarity and certainty, would it make sense for the greatest of the Dayonim to say that? Is he not self praising? Godol Ashbuche Mishbach Nafshei? Is that appropriate that the Godol should be praising himself? The Pasuk says that a stranger should sing your praises and not yourself. So the Gemara says, we're going to stick with the pshat that it means. We can stick with the pshat that it means Chacham Dina and convinced otherwise by virtue of this objection, because Shaini Milsa de Beidina, court procedure is different. The Agodol Ramyo, that all court announcements are for him to make. Hence, it would not appear as a sign of haughtiness if he says it, because it's known that all court announcements are made by the Godol Shebadayonim. Kedisnan, as is featured in the following source. The source is not illustrating our case, but it is going to illustrate the idea of the Godol Shebadayonim making the announcements as follows. Gomru es hadavar, the case is concluded. Hayu machnisin oisam, then the parties would be brought in. Godol Shebadayonim omer, the greatest of the judges present would say, ish ploni ata zakai, ish ploni ata chayav, that you so-and-so are innocent and you so-and-so are found guilty. So we see that all court procedures are upon the Godol Shebadayonim to announce, even things that are of a praiseworthy nature. With that, we conclude the fifth perek, and now turn to Amud Beis, Mem Beis Amud Beis, and begin the sixth perek. Nigmar Hadin, a court case is resolved with a verdict of guilt. Motzien Oisoi Lesoklo, we take the defendant out to be stoned. Rashi points out that stoning is just one of the possible punishments that may be inflicted, and we're just citing Skila as an example, because it's the first in the list of the Mises Bezdin that are found. It's the most severe penalty according to the Rabbanan as well. Beis Haskila Hoya Chutz LeBeisdin Rachok MiBeisdin. The site at which the person was subjected to the skila punishment was outside of the Bezin and at a distance from Bezin. And Rashi adds importantly, Rashi says, Rachok MiBeisdin Ktsas, a bit distant from Beisdin. Shenemar Hoitse Es HaMekalel. The Pasuk says that you shall take him out to where he has to be killed. The Mekalel is a parsha in the Torah featuring someone who cursed the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he is punished by Skila. So by virtue of the fact the word Hotzei was used, it indicates that the Beis HaSkila, where he is eventually to be stoned, is not right there where the court is located. Echad oimed al Pesach Beis Din v'asudrin biyado. A person was positioned at the entrance to the basin with flags or cloths in his hands that he could use as a flag. V'sus rochok mimenu. And there was a horse that was positioned further away from him, meaning in the direction of where the Beis HaSkila was located. Kedei she'ei ro'ehu. So that the person by the court door could see him. And we'll now see how this all fits together. Omer Echad, if someone were to say, Yesh l'lamed olav schus, someone comes along after the defendant is being taken out to be stoned, so someone comes in with information claiming that he has information for his defense. So how do we stop the defendant from getting stoned? Hello, Mainif Besudrin. So the fellow standing at the entrance of the court waves the flags. Fasus Rots Umamidon. That's a signal to the horse to go with its rider to the party on the way to the execution. Yafilu hu omer, even if the defendant himself says, Yesh li l'lamed al atzmi zechus, he says, I have more information to say in my own defense. Machzirin oso, we bring him back to the court. Afilu arba v'chamesh pe'omim, even 4 or 5 times. Ulevad sheyesh mamish bidvar, provided there is substance to his claim. As we learned the Mishnah, we attempted to convey the feeling that the Beis HaSkila was a little bit distant from Beis, but not far away. On this, the Gemara asks, "Ubeis HaSkila chutz lebezin havi v'sulo." Are we to suggest that the Beis HaSkila, the execution site, was just outside of Bezin, but no further? For Ha'atanya, we have the following source: Beis HaSkila hoya chutz l'sholosh machnos. This execution site was outside of 3 camps. The term 3 camps is used in the context of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has in it the Beis HaMikdash, which is characterized as a Machne Shechina. There's the Har HaBayis, the area surrounding the Beis HaMikdash, the Temple Mount, which is referred to by the term Machne Leviyah. And the rest of Yerushalayim, until its walls, would be considered Machne Yisrael. The Beis HaSkila, according to this source, was outside of all 3 camps. And if that's the case, it wasn't just outside of Bezin, it was much further away. So the Gemara answers, in Kidako Amris, you're correct in suggesting that the Beis HaSkila was actually outside the city limits. Gaha dekatani hachi, the fact that our Mishnah teaches it the way it does, leaving one to think that it's fairly close to the basin, just not immediately outside of the basin. Nafkamina di nafik beidino v'yosef chutz l'sholosh machnos. The practical application of this discussion is in a case where the basin themselves went and judged a case outside the city limits. Even so, avdinon beis haskila chutz l'beisdin, we still will provide for the execution site to be distanced from that basin, which is already sitting outside of the city limits. Why do we want the base haskila distanced from the basin? Ki hechi delo mischazi beizdin roischan, so that the court should not appear as if it were murderous. Inami, another approach. Ki hechi detevele atzola. By having this distance between the court and the execution site, even in the event that the court is located outside of the town, we're nevertheless going to be gaining time, or buying time, so to speak, during which time someone might come along with information to exonerate him, to have him have the defendant freed. We wouldn't have that if the execution site were just outside the door of Bezin itself, so as soon as he walks out the door and he would be executed, we wouldn't have this little leeway in time during which we can get him off the hook. Minohani mili, from where do we know that the Beis Haskila was outside of three machnois, as we illustrated before? We notice here a Nosei Mivneh heading, and a diamond is featured. The diamond is a series marking, as are all the geometric forms. As we've mentioned on previous occasions, in the marking system, no geometric form per se has inherent significance. Wherever they appear, they simply represent a series of whatever. So in this case, we have Gimel Dugmois L'Hoitzlas HaMekalel, three Mekoros, three sources for the Mekalel being taken out. Dugma Shel Niskolim. This is an example. The Mekalel is an example of the stoned people, the stoned victims or defendants. The Michutz L'Gimel Machnos, that the Mekalel was taken out of three Machnos. So let us see the different sources. We start here with one. The second approach will be that of Rav Popo, who's on the lower part of the page. And the third approach will be that of Rav Ashi, who's found on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. So we start the source after we see the Ton de Ton Rabbanan, Hotzei es ha-mekala el michutz la-machane. The Pasuk, in dealing with the one who is cursing Hashem, he has to be taken out of the machne and be stoned. So what does it mean, take him out of the machne? Hotzei le-gimel machnas. Take him out of three camps. Three camps, as we said, would mean, in the case of Yerushalayim, it would mean outside the Jerusalem boundaries. Are you saying it means outside of three camps, and maybe it means outside of only one? So to answer that, the Gemara says, Nemar kan michutz lamachne, v'nemar b'por ha-minisrofim chutz lamachne. It says in the case of Mekalel, outside of the camp, and it says in the case of Porim ha-nisrofim. Those are specific korbonas that after they're slaughtered, they are to be burnt. And Porim ha-nisrofim is a type of korban chatas, not to be confused with a standard oilah. So where are they taken eventually? They're taken to be located outside of three machnas. Chutz lemachna, the Pasuk went on to say that. That equals chutz l'sholosh. Let us read this again. We read v'nemar b'parm esrofim chutz lemachna. Ma lahalon chutz l'sholosh machnas. Just like in the case of the parm esrofim, that's a given that it's outside of three camps. Afkan, in the case of the Mekalel, chutz l'sholosh machnos. So too, our unresolved issue, and it was our issue of the Mekalel, we're looking for a source for him being taken out of three machnos, so we're saying here that we're to learn it from the case of Porim ha-nisrofim. So the Gemara asks, v'hosim and all, how do you know by Porim ha-nisrofim to use that as a basis for this particular teaching? The Tan Rabbanan, so we have another Tanaic source. This is a reference to the par Kohen Moshiach. When the Kohen Gadol makes an erroneous psak din, he brings a special par. And the Pasuk says he brings it El Michutz L'machna, and the Brice understands that equals Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas. Automatically, the Brice seems to say that it's taken all the way out of the city limits. Are you to tell me for sure that it means outside of three camps, and maybe it means outside of only one? Kishu Omer, when you see another pasuk that says El Michutz LeMachaneh BePar HaEdah, This pasuk says, "And it shall be taken outside of the camp." This is the Par HaEdah, is a reference to the Par HaLemdovash HaSibor, the event that the Sanhedrin makes a mistake in Psak, so they bring a korban. We call it sometimes Par HaEdah. So it says, by Par HaEdah El Michutz LaMachne, She'ein Talmud Lomar. It really is not necessary to have a special pasuk saying that, Michutz LaMachne, Sharei Kvar Nemar, there is already a pasuk that says, V'saraf Oisoi, and you shall burn it, the Par HaEdah, Kashir Saraf is a Par HaRishon, just like we burnt the Par HaRishon. Par HaRishon was the Par Kohen Mashiach. And by the Par Kohen Mashiach, it already says Michutz LaMachne. So, what is the purpose of saying El Michutz LaMachne by the Par Helem Dovah Shel Tzibur? Answer, Litein Loi Machne Shnia. To provide for it a second camp that it's to be taken out of. Ukishu Omer, when you have another pasuk that says in Parshas Tzav, El Michutz LaMachane Bedeshen, the ashes from the Mizbeach are to be taken out of the Machane. She'ein Talmud Lomar, you don't really need a pasuk to tell me that by in Parshas Tzav. Sharei Kvar Nemar, there's already a pasuk that says Al Shefa Chadeshen. By the Par Kohen Moshiach, it says that El Shefa Chadeshen, that's where the Par Kohen Moshiach is processed, is burnt. And just like over there, we know already you're out of the Machnos. So too, I don't need a pasuk to tell me by the Deshen El Michutz LaMachne. So what is it there for? Litein lo machne shlishis. This pasuk in Parshas Tzav is designed to account for a third camp out of which the Purim and Nisrofen are taken. The Gemara asks, v'leilif mishchut echutz, why not learn the din of Mekalel, that the korban he brings is burnt outside of three machnas? Learn from Shchut Echutz and come out to a different number of machnas, namely one. What's Shchut Echutz? Shchut Echutz is a phenomenon of slaughtering a sacrifice outside the Azora. So let us learn from that. Ma lahalon chutz machna achas, just like by Shchut Echutz, the violation is going out of one machna, not three. Afkan chutz the machna achas, so too by the case of the Mekalel, that we're going, we'll say, outside of one machne, just like Shchut Echutz. So at this point, we're in a sense of competition. What is going to teach us about the Mekalel? The Mekalel, naturally, is the individual to be stoned. Do we learn from Parham and Esrafim and come to a conclusion of three machnas, or do we learn from Shchut Echutz, which is a violation accomplished by being out of machnachas? Mistabro miporam hanisrofim havele melaf, and you'll see from the markings how there are two sides to this approach. We've double underlined parm hanisrofim and likewise shchut echutz. So the first side of this argument says it's most likely that we should learn from parm hanisrofim because of the common denominators that we find in common between Parham and Esrafim and the Mekalel. Why is that? Shekain, these are terms that serve as signposts or ways to remember the fuller halacha. It says Shekain Hotzei El Michutz LaMachne. It says Hotzei in the case of both the Parham and Esrafim and the Mekalel, and it says El Michutz LaMachne. Also Machshir indicates these are things that are being done the way they're supposed to be done. In other words, they're both, for example, Parham and Esrafim are supposed to be done outside of three machnas. The Mekalel is supposed to be stoned outside. U'mechaper, they're being taken out serves as part of the kapora, part of the atonement. That cannot be said by Shchut Echutz. Shchut Echutz is an avera, is a sin. So the Gemara says, nevertheless, Adarabba mishchut dechutz havilei lemelaf. We really should learn Mekala from shchut dechutz. Shikain Adam, both shchut dechutz and Mekala involve a human being. Chote, we're dealing with sin, sinful actions, sinful behavior. For example, the Mekalel is a sinner, and shchut dechutz is a sin to do as well. Bin neshama, the expression of neshama, Rashi has two explanations. The second explanation is that shchut dechutz, the person who practices it, is chayav kores, and the Mekalel is obviously chayav taking his neshama through skila. And Pigol. The Rashi explains Pigol. Pigol michutz lamachne the shchut echutz umekalel I ato motze Pigol al yad oisoy chutz lamachne. By shchut echutz, we find the concept of Pigol. Even though it's shchut echutz, even though it's being slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash. But by Mekalel, there's no element of pigul whatsoever. Avol porim ru'uyim lispagel al yad oisei chutz lamachne. What does that mean? The porim and esrofim are a korban. If you slaughter it with the mindset of doing it in the wrong place, as Rashi explains here, we said parim ruuyim lispago al yad oisoi chutz lamachna shim shochto amenas laktir emurein bachutz. If a person has kavona when he shechts the parim esrofim to have their innards offered outside the azara, mispaglin, it becomes pigol. So we see that pigol is something that is in common with the shchut echutz. As Rashi pointed out, the pigol from chutz lamachne of shchut echutz and mekalel, you don't find pigol through that process, but the porim you do have pigol through chutz, through they're being slaughtered with the wrong intention regarding place. The Gemara therefore concludes, since looking at the different points in common between the Mekalel and either Purim and Esrofim, or the Mekalel and Shchut Echutz, Machshir mi Machshir Odif Lei. The Skilas HaMekalel, the stoning of the Mekalel, and the burning of the Purim HaNisrofim outside are both the proper way that those things should be done. Therefore, we're going to conclude three machnos for the Mekalel, as we find by the Purim HaNisrofim. Rav Papa has a different approach. He says, Moshe Hecho Havi Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu, where was he seated? B'machna Levio. He was seated, that's where he was himself a Levi, was located there. V'omar le'rachmona, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hotzei es ha-mekalel el michutz la-machane. Take the Mekalel to outside the camp. What does that mean? Chutz la-machane v'il, out from where you are. V'yotziu es ha-mekalel el michutz la-machane. There's another pasuk that says, and they took him, the Mekalel, outside of the camp. That's chutz la-machane Yisrael. Take him out of that. Hence, we conclude from through Rav Papa that he's taken out of three machnos from these psukim. At this point in the Gemara, we encounter a bracketed section. As far as going further in the Gemara per se, we will not do that in today's shiur, but we will take a look at what the role of these brackets is by the note on the inside margin. An hasograim Rav Papa gomar ikr dvarav. Up to the point of these brackets, Rav Papa stated his main point that you derive three machnos from these particular psukim. Miyad achar hasograim haGemara makshe. After the sograim, after the brackets, the Gemara will ask on Rav Papa, Hare hatana kvar evi mokor legimu machnos. We saw a Tanaic source that gave a source for the three machnos. And that being the case, imkein lomali drushas rapapa. What do I need rapapa for? Who was a lesser authority than a Tana? Rapapa wouldn't argue with the Tana. That will be the issue on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph after the bracketed section. Besochas agrayim, agamora male kushiyos al etzim adroshes rapapa umitartzam. In the bracketed section, the Gemara will raise objections or questions on Rav Papa's drosha or Rav Papa's approach and will answer them. So by the end of the brackets, the immediate questions on Rav Papa will be resolved. However, after the brackets, the Gemara will ask a general question on how is it the Rav Papa is suggesting some type of alternative approach to what the Tana was saying, and that too the Gemara will answer on the next Omid. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.